Lead and empower her with Dr. Julie Ducharme, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and relevant people on the planet. Hear their stories and get the most important business lessons they have learned on their road to success, and get exclusive advice on how to implement their success into your life and business. Lead and empower her with Dr. Julie Ducharme is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board and your host, Dr. Julie Ducharme.
Hi, I'm Dr. Julie Ducharme. Welcome to the She CEO podcast. This is one of my favorite podcasts that I do because I get to talk with women around the world about the amazing things they're doing in their businesses, listen to their stories, hear their struggles, and also their successes. So today I'm super excited to have Karen Weaver on our show. She is a visionary, author, accomplished publisher, life philosopher known for her profound insights into mindfulness, knowing intention, love, gratitude, forgiveness, and belief. With a remarkable career spanning various genres, including novels, motivational literature, children's books, and journals, she has consistently led the way in her authorship, generously sharing her transformative philosophies through the power of the written word. And her journey is a testament to the boundless potential of human existence. An award-winning author and a three-time TEDx speaker, she has not only penned numerous books, but also touched the hearts and minds of readers worldwide. Her work transcends traditional literacy boundaries and offering profound wisdom and guidance and in a diverse facets of life. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I got to shorten that bio.
Well, I had to, because it's just so powerful. Like, I was reading yours and I was like, it's just so powerful. I didn't throw in that you are, okay, am I getting this right? A mom of six?
Yes.
Do I have that right? So also, yes, that needs to be in your bio. I feel like that is an amazing feat to be a mom of six and such a successful entrepreneur. And, you know, this is really, I really enjoy this because, you know, Karen, when I was young, I really wanted to write and I was really pushed away from it. But I loved it. It was like this getaway for me. It was like this world I could go into. And so when I see everything you're doing, I just like, this is a passion of mine. And I wish I could sit and write all day. Like, that's my dream, right? Retirement is a coffee house where I can sit and write and read books all day long.
Oh, we share the same dream. I have a vision of a house on a hill, a story and a half with a nice little bay window where I'm overlooking a forest, writing my heart out. So I'm not too far away from it, I don't think, you know, so it's beautiful.
I love it. Well, you know, I always love for our listeners to hear your story. You know, how did you get from where you, before you were into publishing and having these companies and also managing six children, how did you move into this? Because I know your story, but our listeners don't.
Yeah. Well, just touching on what you were saying about, you know, an aspiring authorship, I never wrote anything until I was 31 years old. That was when I wrote my first piece. And now I've authored over 40 of my own books. So I'm really proud of the journey that I've honored. And by no way is it conventional. It's actually quite against the norm. But in 2008, I emigrated to Australia, 35 weeks pregnant with my third child. And that's when it seemed to be, when I came to Australia, that creative juices started to flow. And I also had some time. And so I started getting really creative and writing and stuff like that when I came to Australia. I am from Ireland. So we emigrated here when I was 30 years old, and I've been on a journey. I think that's a very transitional age for most people anyway. I seem to identify that. So there's always a lot of growth that happens there. And I wrote my first novel whenever my fourth child was 4 weeks old. She was breastfeeding her, and I was typing my novel out during NaNoWriMo, which is National Novel Writing Month. And I never knew it existed until 2 days before it was about to start. And I just said, hell yes to it. I can write 1,667 words a day for 30 days and have a 50,000 word novel, even though I didn't know 2 days beforehand what I was going to write about. And then an epiphany ensued, and I got to work, and I never blocked myself. I never thought about editing. I just let the story come out, and it came out as a fictional novel called The Visitor. And that book has been a catalyst into not just authorship, but also publishing for me. That book was meant to be born. It was definitely before its time. And now it's getting beautifully picked up 12, 13 years later. It's time for it now, which is gorgeous. So.
Yeah, I love that. You know, my first experience writing was actually in sixth grade. And I wish that I don't know, obviously, the amount of writing that kids do that has to do with fiction and stories in school. But I had this teacher who had us write our stories. We actually drew our pictures and she actually made them into books. And then sent him home with us. And they were this really just cool little thing. So years later, my mom had it in her hope chest and she pulled it out and she said, you know, I think that you should write this story, like get it published. And my story was about the angel during, Christmas when baby Jesus was born and how the star got shined. And it was about a clumsy angel. And so in my mind, I thought about this clumsy angel and all these like silly things she had to do to try and make this star shine. And so I decided, but from my mom's suggestion to do it. And, obviously we updated the story so it wasn't written in sixth grade level. And it was my first book that came out. And I was really blessed as well to have a friend who had designed for Disney. He did the drawings for me. And it was my first experience and so cool. And I was able to reach out to my sixth grade teacher who was still around and let her know that, I published that story that she had really helped us do back in the day. And then of course I was hooked, right? Like it was like, I was so excited that from that, then it just like pushed me into other things. But I think about like how you were saying you didn't write till you were 30 and I didn't publish this book till maybe 10 years ago when I did it. So I was definitely in my 30s as well. And, I think I've told you both my son and daughter, they wanted to write books. And so they published their first books. And I just think like what you're doing and everything is just so powerful for our youth to see that, you hear you're talking about, you popped out a baby, you're breastfeeding and typing and, writing a book and you didn't let any of that stop you. And I think that's so powerful. So how did you transition from just writing books into having your own entire company?
Yeah, well, it was through the power of story. I had what I deemed to be a negative publishing experience with my first novel. But the quote at the beginning of that book was, from every negative situation is the potential for a positive outcome. So I was going through a very big spiritual awakening. And I realized that I had learned a lot about publishing during my journey of publishing with the company that I worked with. And so I done a bit of investigation, and whenever I'm passionate about something, Julie, I give it my all and I go and learn very fast, super speed and all of that. So I discovered, and a bit of serendipity mixed in, it always makes it, it gives you motivation and makes you feel really aligned. And so I done a bit of investigation, and the very month that I went and checked everything out, the publishing or the print and distribution channel that my publisher had used opened up an office in Melbourne, Australia. So I was like, okay. And I made a sacred promise that if I got accepted as a publisher, I would help stories get shared with the world and journey with them. Because it's not just about the book and showing a book on somebody's lap. It's about journeying, because writing and publishing a book is a self-development journey. You have to honor that. You will grow whenever you write a book and publish a book. It's a journey. And that's why authorship comes with authority, is because you have grown so much and learned so much and went through the challenges and all of those things and just, and grew through it. And so when I got accepted as a publisher, I didn't have strategy. I just had an intention. So my intention was, and I honored it, and I showed up and allowed the organic growth of the business. But I did early on set an intention to build a $1 million publishing company. And that was by just investing $50 Australian a week at the initial and seeing where it went to. I had been studying the law of attraction, and I was like, okay, let's have a bit of fun with this. Let's make something impactful happen. Mm. And stories, I believe, make the world go round, because stories can ignite something within someone, heal something. When we share our stories, it's very powerful way for people to come together and connection. And goodness does our world not need connection right now. So that's why I show up every single day, is for the power of story. So.
I love that. And you mentioned something that really resonates with me, which is we grow a lot when we write. And I know when I wrote like my first kind of a bit of my story, my memoir, it was such a healing time to write through those chapters. I always joke with a woman and say, yeah, I cried through like these four chapters as I wrote them. But it was like, I've heard this from many other writers, is there's just this healing. There's this, as you say, growth that happens when we're able to put truth, you know, put that pen to paper. And so I really love that, because I had a negative publishing experience the first time around for myself as well. I was clueless. I didn't know what I was doing. And I myself remember thinking like, there has to be a better way. This is a total nightmare. And so that's, and of course, you know, obviously I think publishing has really revolutionized over the last like, you know, 15 years, you know, between Amazon and all these other distributors. So I love that. I wanted to also touch on, you know, I of course stalked you a lot, gone to your websites, checked out your books and everything you're doing. And so obviously two things I want to talk about is your Roar series and also your Duchess Serenity Press too, which, oh, I'm going to tell my producer, Josh, you got to get the magazine and bring it over here to me so I can show Karen. So, but he does that. Your Roar series is really interesting to me. I know it's several books. And I want to talk about how that came about. And also for our listeners, we have a lot of aspiring authors or current authors who might really be interested in that series.
Yeah, Hamish roared into my life so quickly last year. So I love book covers. And about 2 years ago, I seen this book cover and I was like, oh my goodness, I just love that lion. I felt really connected with the energy of it. And I called it Hairish Roar, and I purchased the cover and kept it. And then mid-year last year, around September, I decided, okay, I've helped so many business owners create anthologies for their communities and to collectively gather stories. I want to do this now and bring the people that are around me into one book. I really feel the power of, you know, someone who's a leader in their space, bringing people together and showcasing stories, because these books could not be without someone calling people in. So then this book came together, and we had 38 people in no time in this book. It was just phenomenal. And then whenever a call happens, I don't ignore it. I honor it and see what's coming through. So it ended up being 8 books together. So it's a series of 8 books that we call the Hairish Roar series. Yes, there's my babies. Look at them. I love them. So the lion and the lioness are now full, and we're doing the Siberian tiger and the tiger now. And each book has a theme. So the first one was courage and perseverance. The lioness was stealth and faith. And then we have passion and purpose and authenticity and endurance. And so each one is like the people that are coming in and that everyone's standing alongside is phenomenal. And we have this beautiful Hairish Roar group that everyone comes into collectively, and then there's individual ones for each book. But the power of the group of people that are coming in, like some are really high vibe people, some are people that would never have ordinarily shared their story. So to come and, to write 2,500 words, just to dip your toe in the water and get used to, getting your words down on paper, and getting that confidence. And, you know, it's a beautiful way to be part of something really big. And this is growing and growing. And we're now doing docufilms for each book. So everybody who's in the books gets interviewed, and we're pulling together docufilms that's going to stream on Apple TV starting from the end of this year, which is really exciting because I believe the books and visuals together are phenomenal. So yeah, it's a power project.
I love that. And, you know, it's kind of, I loved growing up reading Chicken Soup for the Soul with those collections of stories. I actually got to meet Diane Wentworth, who is one of the very popular authors for Chicken Soup for the Soul. And I love to see collections like this. You know, there's so much power in that, to read the different perspectives and stories of that. I just love it. And, you know, the other thing we talked about recently, which I'm going to show you, you're going to love this. Okay, so I printed it out.
I'm so excited to see it printed out.
Yeah, Yes, I got to get you one of these. I mean, we're virtual, but I had to print it out and it turned out so beautiful. And so for those of you who may not see this on here, and Josh, maybe you can put up the SheTalksMag.com website where you can see it virtually. And we are going to allow some people to order these. We're dipping our toe in that. But it's a beautiful cover of you and the Duchess and talking about the Duchess Serenity Press, which is another one of your ventures. And obviously, we really love this because it was such a give back of books about kindness that both of you are working on. So I'd love for you to tell our listeners about this Duchess Serenity Press.
Yeah, we have put our hearts and soul into this collection of books. So it's the Kindness Collection. And so we've got children's books and we have we've got some older books as well. And we're really working on building out the collection, which is launching. And really, your magazine is the one that's featured it first. So you kind of got an exclusive there. And we've been working on these books for 3 years. We started with The Enchanted Oak Tree and Genie Gems, and the Duchess has such an amazing imagination and she's so passionate about the story as well, so we just combine and unite on that. And it was even serendipitous how we ended up coming together, and we were like, okay, we've got a synergy here, we're both passionate about the same things, so let's make it happen. And we've been working really hard. I'm teaming up with beautiful illustrators and giving opportunities to some other illustrators as well. To as you can see, Serenity Press has got gorgeous books. Covering for all. Demon's Land is a series of YA books that the Duchess was very. It's called the Southport series, and it's actually been. It's under contract to be made into a kind of series, kind of like Dawson's Creek-esque kind of thing. So. Yeah. It's talked about current, things that the teenagers, because it changes so much and teenagers go through so much. So really current things that the kids are going through, and just creating conversations around that. And you know, the younger books, like I know for myself, sitting and reading a story with my children, you have a beautiful discussion around that. It's about reading the story, yes, and about that beautiful connection and memory that you're creating, but it's also the subject of the book. You can talk about it more. So kindness, you can talk about how you're kind, you know, and all those types of things. With the YA books, it gives what young adults who may not speak an opportunity to share or to not feel alone and things like that. So we're very passionate about it.
Well, and this brings me to another question. You had said that motherhood is your highest value and everything you do aligns with this. So how does your Duchess Serenity Press books align with you being a mom and motherhood?
Oh, well, how does it not, Julie? Like, you know, these are books I want to read to my children, you know, and they feel very part of it because they're there whenever we're choosing an illustrator, they pop their heads into the calls that I have with the Duchess and, you know, all of those things. My kids are always around energetically, and I wouldn't have it any other way, even though even my eldest is 28, he works in my company and he pulls the books together, you know what I mean? He's in design and stuff. So everyone's very much involved. And the Duchess, motherhood is a very, very high priority for her. And now, being a grandmother, she's able to read her books to her grandchildren as well. And we started these books before there was any grandkids around, and now she's able to read them. So it's so, it's just, there's so much love in it. There's so much, and everything that we do is giving back as well. So we can't wait for these books to come and spread far and wide through the world. You know, they're like a collection, you know, like the Golden Book Collection or whatever. These are a collection of the Kindness Collection we're building out. So
Well, and I love that you embrace motherhood. A lot of times when we talk about being CEOs of companies, especially when I first started having my children, you know, it was really looked down upon for me to behave like a mother or talk about my kids or acknowledge or show pictures or have pictures in my office. And I remember reading a book and it was about 101 things that women do wrong in the corporate office. And so I thought, okay, I'll read this book and this will help guide me so I do it right. Well, as I read this book, it was like, don't be a mother, don't be a woman, don't have candy in your office, don't be feminine. Don't, you know, I'm going down the line and I'm like, basically you're saying to not be me. And I was, at the time I had a toddler, a 2-year-old and a newborn. And I'm like, what is wrong with me embracing being a mother and being a leader and being a CEO? And I just remember at some point, I just finally was like, that's it. Like, I'm throwing this book out. Like, if I can't be me and I can't enjoy like being a mother and being a boss, then I don't want to be part of this, you know, at the time. And so I love that the shift has happened. You know, my daughter's 15 now, and I look at the shift that happens and how women are now embracing being a mother, being a wife, you know, being a CEO altogether, you know, because I remember like working from home and having my kid in the swing and sticking a bottle in their mouth while I'm doing a call, trying to make sure that nobody heard the baby in the background. And I just love that you embrace it, you know, because I really want women to be freed to because we're mothers and we're CEOs. And so when you were building your company, obviously you're having your children, what were the struggles that you had with building that, being a mom? And then how did you overcome some of those struggles?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, firstly, I would never have ventured into my passion purpose had I not been a mom, because I would have been out working. I would never have had the time or space to explore it. So had I not been a mom at home, I would never have discovered it or maybe given the time to it, you know, prioritized it. So I'm a great believer in, as mothers, we need to fill our cups that we can pour into our children. But also it's the same in any environment, into the world or whatever. So part of what filled my cup was pursuing my ambitions. And I will never, you know, and I never, ever hold any shame around that. I'm a better person when I am pursuing something that lights me up. And so, and my kids then benefit from happy mum, you know what I mean? So it all ties in. But not only that, Julie, they are learning to prioritize their dreams and their ambitions as well, instead of sacrificing all of themselves for something. And I'm not saying that we sacrifice ourselves for motherhood, but I think that, you know, being a mom is the toughest gig in the whole world. We are very present, but I can't compromise my values, which is to be a present mom. So that, you know, I'm not compromising any of myself. I found my balance that works for me. It may be someone else's nightmare, but it's my dream and it works. And sometimes it doesn't work, and that's okay. You know, we make it work. And we whenever you're up front and say, this is where I'm at. But one of the great things I believe that mothers have as a superpower is love. And love is a super fuel to all success. And we do things efficiently. And we do things infused with so much loving intention that it always reaches the highest capacity in the quickest amount of time. So there's no stats to record that. There probably will never be. But women who you allow to have flexibility in the workplace will over exceed anybody who's just there doing their clicking, clocking, kind of thing, because that flexibility in their life, they appreciate and value it so much, they will over deliver in gratitude, because
such a good point. You know, I feel that women are, and what I always love to differentiate when we talk about women leaders versus men leaders is that I always say there's nothing wrong or right with either leadership style. It just is how it fits in the moment and that situation. And I find women are incredibly loyal. They're problem solvers. They'll stick it out much longer than the average person. But the approach, as you mentioned, I think a very uniqueness to our approach is being a mother. I was talking about some women going back into the workplace after having children, and they were like, oh, I don't have any skills. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been out of the workplace so long. And I said, okay, do you like talk on the phone and hold your kid and make dinner while you're doing it? And they're like, yeah. And I said, okay, so you can multitask. You know, are you constantly breaking up fights between the kids? Uh-huh, yes. Okay, you have conflict resolution skills. You know, I even joked and said, if you're changing diapers, you have biohazard skills. And so, you know, but it was bringing to the forefront of like, you do this every day, right? And then those skills absolutely transfer into, you know, the work world. And so I just think it's a great time to see women really infusing both, right? Like embracing, hey, I'm a leader, but I'm also a mother and I'm also this. And all of that makes us uniquely important and successful. And so I just love that you're infusing that and that you're open about it. And so
one of the things I just want to add in there, Julie, is that women have strengths that men have, and men have strengths that women have. And we shouldn't try to be each, we should stand in our own power and our own strength and complement each other, not to try to cancel each other out. It's so important. The world needs that unity together. And it, you know, if I just believe that, that mothers love being mothers. So you create the space for that. You're creating space for the world to be a better place and also the work environment to be a better place. I believe so.
Absolutely. I fully agree with you 100%. And that's definitely my approach too. I always feel, listen, I can learn from you and you can learn from me. And then together we can do that. I was just in another meeting where we were talking about a lot of women who work with their husbands. And in this group, out of the group of six or seven women, there was at least six of them that said, well, I have a company and I work with my husband. And we were talking about the uniqueness of that and how that brings in such an interesting dynamic to the work. So I love that. Now, I know you have some new things coming out. And so, in fact, I think you have the book in the background right there, Master Gifts. And so I'd love for you to tell us about this book.
Thank you, Julie. Yeah, this is my, it's kind of a little legacy book that I've put together. I've worked, serendipitously, I worked on it over 7 years. So each of my master gifts, which there are seven, I think you mentioned them earlier, is mindfulness, knowing, intent, love, gratitude, forgiveness, and belief. And each one without intentionally doing it, I actually live through each gift for a full year with the intention on that gift. So my mindfulness year really expanded everything in my world where I could see wider and deeper and see opportunities and inspired thoughts and all those types of things. And so things really started to open up in my world in my mindfulness year. The knowing year, you know, knowing is such an amazing business resource, because when you have the ability to know, you can make decisions with unwavering confidence that you are making the right next step. And to do that in confidence is just, you know, so having the ability to know, we're all born with the ability to know. We just lose confidence in it as we, you know, grow through life. And then intent, you know, I believe in goals and steps towards goals. But if you want to make something happen at super speed, and it's a big, like a big fat audacious goal. And if you set an intention for it and honor the journey, don't try to control the journey, honor it, have faith and have your mindfulness where your peripheral power is wide open and you can identify an opportunity that's aligned to that intention and allow that to come through. So yeah, oh, there's some of my book babies. So yeah, and you know, love is at the center of my seven master gifts, because love is at the center of everything, and it's the super fuel for all success, whether it's personal success, motherhood success, and you know, the solution is always found with loving intention. Gratitude is a super hack. I've studied the law of attraction. It's that super fuel, that hack that will just put you onto that vibration of receiving, and I love the gift and gratitude. And then forgiveness, that year of forgiveness nearly killed me. I did a lot of learning in that year. I actually reached and wrote a really profound chapter, which I called Beyond Forgiveness, which landed me in this beautiful space where there's beautiful peace of mind, where there's just, and that the things that grow out of that place is just divine and just gorgeous. And I want everybody to reach there in their lifetime. A lot of people don't. And then belief, you know, when you have belief and total faith that something is possible, and then in your ability to make it happen, that changes your life. There's no limitations whatsoever. It's just a matter of choosing what it is that you want and what you don't want. So I've had a lot of fun bringing these master gifts together, because joy is such a high priority in life. Mm. You know, if I'm not enjoying life, then, you know, I'm not lit up. So joy is very much a priority. And, you know, I am human. We have days. It's right. I share in the book. It's very real. It's my stories. Some people are like, wow, you shared so much. And I'm like, I was just having conversations with people, because usually I find that people relate to stories and the things that I've learned along the way. And a lot of people are like, wow, I'm just learning so much and getting to know you in this book. So that's my goal. And it is permission to live without fear and on purpose.
Mm, I love that. And gosh, you touch on some really important things. I love that you pick themes for the years. I mean, forgiveness, what a powerful one, right? How often do we focus on forgiveness? And if we don't forgive, you know, I look at that as it's like a negative thing growing in you, you know, and how much that takes away from, as you talk about, joy. Yes. And I've been doing a gratitude challenge. One of our She Talkers has an app and it's 28 days of gratitude. And so every day setting aside 10 minutes to write down the things I'm grateful for, which of course lead into other things like prayer requests and answers to prayers. And so it's really hard to have a bad day when you point out all these things you're grateful for. I really feel like it's been really transformational in how I even handle situations, because I'm in such a different space, a headspace, right? I'm not going into the day stressed or anxious or upset, but I'm going into the day really with joy and gratitude and thinking, okay, wow, I'm blessed. All right. And so when those negative situation comes up, I'm really taking a different angle on it. And so I've become a really big advocate. I think I'm on day 19 or 20 of it. But I'm like, wow, this is powerful.
You really got a big, you know, if anyone who's listening to this or watching this, if you just infuse gratitude into your life right now, within a week, you're going to see a dramatic change.
Absolutely. Yeah. For me, it's been transformational. And I've been encouraging everyone to do it because it just really changed my attitude about things. And I think too, like sometimes I have a busy schedule, as you know, and I'm running multiple companies, and sometimes a lot of anxiousness or anxiety of just like, oh, I've got to get so much stuff done and I got to do this. And it really kind of centers me. It just brings everything back to that spot. And so I'm really excited. I'm going to be purchasing your book. Is it already out where we can get it, or is it coming soon?
Yes, it's everywhere. Yeah, it's out everywhere on all the platforms. It's hitting Australian bookstores in June, but it is on all of the platforms as well.
Okay. So we can already get it. That's awesome. I love it. I'm definitely getting it because I just really find at this point in my life that finding those things, the joy, the gratitude, the forgiveness, you know, the intention. I love that you talk about intention, right? Like how often do we sit down and really find the intention of something? And for me, that's what
I just share that was my $1 million year, Julie, my intention year.
Wow.
I love it. My $1 million year.
This is just powerful. And are you doing a couple of retreats, or do you have any retreats coming up?
No, we usually have a castle retreat in Ireland, and we've done it 7 times. It's amazing. This year I'm just taking a sabbatical out of retreats. My family needs me, so I'm actually looking at the beach right now. So I'm in my happy place. I'm writing at the moment, so I've got a intention I set for a very special novel. So I'm doing that right now this year. And there's a podcast and a few other things that are launching with collaborating with other people. So I really want to create those opportunities for people to be visible and shine, just like you do, Julie. You know, that's why we all work together in harmony, because we're all doing beautiful things and making the world a beautiful place by, you know, true story.
I love it. Well, as we're coming to the end of the podcast, I always like to ask my guests, if you could go back to your younger self and give your younger self advice, what would it be?
Just to keep having fun, really and truly. I suppose looking back and putting the dots backwards, I went through a very dark period in my late 20s, and then I had PTSD, and then I had a double miscarriage and things like that. And those dark times were like a cocoon period where I grew so much in spirit and come out and I'm a better person today because of them. But at the time, you know, you don't believe it, you know, you don't believe it to be. So just endure, trust yourself, trust your inner guide, because that guide is there 100% to serve you. All of the answers are inwards, and then you lean outwards for the support to make them happen, not the other way around. That's what I'm a great believer in. So I prioritize joy.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm I'm just, you know, I love everything you're doing. I'm super excited to promote it all out and so thankful that you allowed us to tell your story in the She Talks magazine as well. And for those of you who may be listening, driving, don't worry, we're going to put in all the links in here so you guys can get to those. And of course, if you want to get connected with Karen, you can go to her kpwofficial.com website, or also we have the Duchess Serenity Collection. And of course, you can always message me and I'll connect you with her as well. So thank you so much for being on the show. And as I always say, live, love, laugh, and always be your authentic self.
Thanks for listening to Lead and Empower Her with your host, Dr. Julie Ducharme. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advisement on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we'll see you on the next episode.